you want to open up the Bible into Genesis, and I've just kind of put this to you that we're doing chapter 48, chapter 49, chapter 50 of Genesis, although not so much chapter 50 because we've covered the major themes of chapter 50 in the last few weeks. But the big word of these chapters is the word blessing. And we've talked in our Village Church vision statement about the word blessing, that we're about as a church loving Jesus, about loving each other and being a blessing to the inner west, being a blessing to the media fraternity. And just look with me at what Jacob the father says to his son Joseph in the last few verses of chapter 49 of Genesis. Last few verses, chapter 49 of Genesis, verse 25, by the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty who blesses you with the blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lies below, and blessings of the breasts and the womb. The blessings of your father excel the blessings of my ancestors and the bounty of the eternal hills. May they rest on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the prince of his brothers. And then down to 28, these are the tribes of Israel, 12 in all. This was what their father said to them. He blessed each one with a suitable blessing. And raises the question, what does blessing mean? Have I received the blessing? Have you received the blessing? And how has receiving the blessing of God changed me? And has receiving the blessing of God cost me anything? Now, some here, as I just raised this issue of blessing, what does blessing mean? You just get shrug your shoulders. What does blessing mean? Blessing, in the dictionary, it's the bestowal of the good. It's the presenting as a gift of, or honouring someone with the good. And there's other questions to ask about God's blessing. Have I been blessed by God? Have you been blessed by God? And they're the questions we're going to be wrestling with these next few minutes. And remember last week, the whole focus of the study was looking forward to the future. And Jacob and Joseph looking forward to the future. And Joseph was held up as this great example of faith in the New Testament. Joseph held up as a great example of faith because he gave instructions about his bones. And he had a concern for the resurrection of his bones. And so in the verse before that, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21, there's a line there speaking about the faith of Jacob. And Wael, give it to us on the screen. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. And that's Jacob dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. And we're going to be looking at what happened when Jacob was dying and what he said to the sons of his favorite son, Joseph. God blesses his people. God blessed Abraham. God blessed Isaac. God blessed Jacob. And now Jacob distributes the blessing. And back in chapter 27, Isaac was dying. Jacob's father, Isaac, was dying. And Isaac did what you'd expect him to do. He passed the blessing that he'd received onto his sons. He said, Esau and Jacob, come to me. He had two sons, Esau and Jacob, come to me. He calls in Esau, and Esau's a hairy guy, calls in Jacob, and Jacob is a smooth guy. And Jacob puts on a wig, puts on Esau's clothes, dresses up differently, different appearance, and he pretends to be Esau. And in chapter 27, he goes to his father Isaac and says, me, I'm Esau, I'm here. And his father Isaac calls him in chapter 27 and verse 26. He says, come closer and kiss me, my son. He came closer and kissed him. When Isaac smelled his clothes, he blessed him, saying, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give to you from the dew of the sky, from the richness of the land, an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you. May nations bow down to you. Be master over your brothers. May your mother's sons bow down to you. There's the blessing of God on his deathbed from Isaac to Jacob. And so now we come 50, 70 years later to the blessing of God on his deathbed from Jacob to his sons. An old man, Jacob, recalls what the blessing of God has been on him, and he describes the blessing of God on him, and he calls his favorite son Joseph.
He calls him in. He says, I've got something to say to you. And he tells them the story. He tells Joseph the story of how God had appeared to him and blessed him. And then said, I'm going to give your sons the blessing, Joseph. And so Jacob says to Joseph's sons, his grandsons, look at chapter 48, sentence 5, your two sons, born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are now mine. Ephraim and Manasseh belong to me, just as Reuben and Simeon do. He's saying, I'm not seeing Ephraim and Manasseh as grandsons. I'm seeing Ephraim and Manasseh as sons. You say, hey, well, what's the difference? I mean, my dad loves me, loves my three sisters, and he loves his 13 grandchildren. And it doesn't particularly make much of a difference, I think, in terms of how Dad loves me, how he loves my children. You know, he just loves all of us. So what's it going to mean different for Jacob loving Joseph or loving Ephraim and Manasseh? Well, there is a difference because, unlike Jeremy Steele, my father, Jacob is not just a grandfather. Israel is not just a grandfather. He is the father of the people of God. Now, his 12 sons, they're going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're going to be the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so what he says is, here, I'm going to bless Ephraim and I'm going to bless Manasseh in every bit the same way that my eldest two sons are blessed. And in fact, we're going to see in a moment that he puts Reuben and Simeon, his eldest two, aside in order to elevate Ephraim and Manasseh. And you look at the map, and Wael will give us the map on the screen here, and we've got a map of what Israel is going to look at, and you've got it on the handout sheet there, and you'll see that, see Manasseh? It's right across the northern area. And of all the 12 tribes of Israel, Manasseh is very significant. And Ephraim, that is very significant tribe. In fact, the bulk of the north of the tribes of Israel, when they inherit the promised land 400 years later, goes to Ephraim and Manasseh. And the bulk of the south, we'll see, goes to Judah. And these boys, Ephraim, Manasseh, they don't come out of this as grandsons. They come out as sons. And God so blesses. He elevates the boys, and it is about to give the blessing. And Joseph says, I'll bring my boys to you. Now, we're going to need three young men. Josh and Hugh and Cameron, can you guys come up here? And now, these guys haven't practiced this drama. And so, now, who do you want to be, Josh? Do you want to be Joseph?
Sure.
Okay, here are your boys. You've got, you can be Ephraim, and you can be Manasseh. Now we're going to need you to bring your boys, and so one, you need to have one on the right and one on your left. We've got to be very careful who's on your right and who's on your left. Have a look at the passage here. So, let's see, verse 13. Joseph took them both with his right hand, Ephraim towards Israel's left, and with his left hand, now we're going to need an Israel. Joel, can you be Israel for us? Come on, mate, we're going to need you. you stand there, and you just be Israel, and we'll make it like Joseph. Now, you've got to stand facing Joseph.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Now, here we've got Joseph behind you. Now, we want Ephraim towards Israel's left. So you're Israel. So who's Ephraim? Okay, other side. And Manasseh towards Israel's right. Now, you're bringing Manasseh, you're bringing Ephraim. Now, in social convention, your right-hand man, he sits at my right hand. Right hand is more significant than left hand. So if Joseph is bringing the one on Joseph's left but on Jacob's right, he's actually wanting Manasseh to be the, Manasseh, his eldest, to be the number one guy. And so he brings my eldest son to be on Israel's right hand to receive my blessing. Now, I'm going to read it. You've got to do the role play here. Verse 14, you ready? But Israel stretched out his right hand and put it on the head of Ephraim, the younger, and crossing his hands, put his left hand on Manasseh's head, although Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who's been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who's redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. May they grow to be numerous within the land." When Joseph saw that his father had placed his right hand on Ephraim's head, he thought it was a mistake and took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's. Joseph said to his father, "Not that way, my father. This one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He too will become a tribe and he will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his offspring will become a populous nation." So he blessed them that day with these words, "Israel will invoke blessings by you, saying, 'May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh,'" putting Ephraim, the younger, before Manasseh, the older. Why did he do that? Why did Jacob cross his hands in blessing? Why did he give the blessing to the one who wasn't expecting it, who wasn't kind of entitled to it by birth? Thanks, guys. You can sit down now. The answer is, it's wild grace. It's uncontrollable grace. You go back, and you go back to Genesis chapter 4, and there's this moment, and there's Adam has two boys. There's two boys, Cain and Abel. And God blesses the younger, not the older. And then there's the son Isaac, Abraham's son Isaac, but he has an older brother, Ishmael. And God blesses the younger, not the older. And then Isaac has a son, and God blesses Jacob, not Esau. God can choose who he will choose. And it's real, and it's true, and it comes to fruition. And the blessing matters. You keep reading through the Bible, and you get centuries later, you get to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9, well, I'll give it to us there. "They will come weeping, but I will bring them back with consolation. I will lead them to wadis filled with water by a smooth way from where they will not stumble, for I am Israel's father." God is Israel's father. "And Ephraim is my firstborn." Centuries later, Ephraim, the grandson, is listed as the firstborn, not just of Joseph, but the firstborn of Jacob, the firstborn of the 12 tribes. Wild grace, not entitlement, generosity, God's generosity. And that is the pattern of the Bible. When Jesus walks onto center stage of the Bible, John chapter 1, and verse 11 of John 1, he came to that which was his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to those who did receive, the Jews didn't receive him, the children of Israel didn't receive him, but to all who received him, he gave the right to be children of God. To those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, not blood descendant, or of the will of flesh, or of the will of man, but born of God. Wild grace. Who does God choose to give the grace to? Well, he gave the right to Ephraim and Manasseh to be children of God. But here in John chapter 1, to those who receive Jesus, to those who trust in his name, he gives the right. He adopts them as children of God. And as I started today by saying, have you been blessed? Are you a child of God? Do you believe in his name? It's not about genetics. It's not about bloodline. It's not about who my parents are. It's about, have I received Jesus? Have I received him? Do I believe in his name? For available is the blessing of God. But we've got to stop at this point. There's a cost to receiving the blessing of God. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's not that I have to pay in order to receive the blessing of God. No. God freely gives the blessing. But there are implications of receiving the blessing that we need to face fair and square. See, you think Ephraim and Manasseh, young men in Egypt, who've grown up as sons of Joseph. Joseph, from the moment of their birth, has been 2IC to Pharaoh, prime minister of all Egypt, living in Cairo with a palace. The boys, as they grew up, they played sport with Pharaoh's kids. The rest of Jacob's family is off living in Goshen, in fertile area, nice area, but it's farmland. And they're shepherds and they're keeping wildstock. And Joseph has come down from Cairo, where he lives next door to Pharaoh, and he's had this conversation with his boys, with Israel, with Jacob. And the boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, they've got a future. A future in Cairo, a future as rulers. They're looking forward to growing up, and we've got careers, we've got political careers, and we've got houses, and we've got mortgages, and we've got finances, and we've got lifestyles, and we've got hearts in Cairo. And they go down to the farmer Jacob, and the farmer Jacob said, I'm giving you my blessing. You are my sons now. Not just grandsons, but sons. You are my family now. Put this out there this evening, because some of you guys, I'm talking to the men for a moment, some of you, all of us actually, but you young men, you are Ephraim, you are Manasseh. In your 20s, the world's in front of you, and the question for you is, where is your primary identity? Is it in Cairo? Is it in Sydney? Or is your primary identity as a child of Israel? As a son of God. I'm imagining as Jacob gives the blessing that Ephraim and Manasseh are counting the cost. If we're going to say yes to Jacob, if we're going to accept this blessing, it means accepting our primary identity of, I'm Jacob's son, Ephraim. I'm Jacob's son, Manasseh. And my brother is Issachar, and my brother is Asher, and my brother is Dan. My brothers are the other tribal leaders of the shepherd's tribe down in Goshen. I'm a son of God. Or I'm working for Pharaoh, king of all Egypt. You take the blessing, there's a cost. None of Joseph's descendants are listed as having any role in the government of Egypt. What are your hopes? Hey, you're getting started in life. It's all before you. What are your hopes? Do you want to be influential in Sydney? Do you want to be powerful? Do you want to be elected? Here we are, young professionals. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Do you want people to listen to your creativity? Do you want people to watch the things that you've produced? What are your dreams? Where are you going? What is your identity? When Jacob gives the blessing, he prays for these boys. And he prays for them. He prays, Father, may you bless these boys. May they be called by my name. And the names of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And may they grow to be numerous in the land. What's your prayer for you? Who do you want to be? Do you want to grow to have the faith that Jacob had? Do you want to grow to have the faith that Isaac had? Do you want to grow to have the faith that Abraham had? And I just put it out there and ask you, if that's where your identity is, that's where your dream is, that's where you want to be, are you living like that now? Are your priorities like that now? Is your lifestyle like that now? Are your choices like that now? Can you see that as a priority in you? Where's your focus? Is it about Cairo? Is it about Sydney? Or is it about God and being a child in the family of God, being adopted into the family of God? How important is personally your relationship with God? I mean, just in terms of, definitely open the Bible at home and read it and think about, how can I grow in Christ? How can I grow to trust him more, to know him more? How important is meeting with God's people at church on Sunday? Where is your heart? Is it in Cairo or with Jacob? Ephraim and Manasseh said, We know this from history. They said, my heart's not in Cairo. It's with God, with Jacob, with the family of God. Next thing that happens is, having blessed his grandsons and elevated them, Jacob goes to bless his sons. And so he gathers them round. And it's family conference time. All 12 of them there, I'm imagining wives and kids and grandkids. It's a big moment. And you've got to picture this moment. Chapter 49, sentence 1, calls them all in. Reuben first, his eldest one, Reuben. Verse 3, grab the feeling. Reuben, you are my firstborn. My strength and the first fruits of my virility, excelling in prominence, excelling in power. How'd you like to be Reuben at that point? Excelling in prominence, excelling in power, my father's firstborn. Then look at the next line. Turbulent as water. Turbulent as water. I'm thinking frothy. I'm thinking chaotic. I'm thinking unstable as water. You will no longer excel because you got into your father's bed and you defiled it. He turns to everyone and says, he got into my bed. Reuben, eldest child. Jacob had two wives, Leah and Rachel, and two concubines. And Reuben, his eldest son, had sex with one of his father's concubines. Incest with his mum. He loses the position of firstborn. He is replaced as firstborn. He is replaced as firstborn. Reuben, the eldest son of Leah, is replaced as firstborn. Well, the eldest son of Rachel was Joseph. He's replaced as firstborn by Ephraim, Joseph's son. You read through on that map, you read through, you look at the conquest of the land, and there is no trace in history, the history that follows, of Reuben's original primacy. No judge comes from Reuben's tribe. No prophet comes from Reuben's tribe. And no king comes from Reuben's tribe. But you think years earlier. I mean, Reuben committed this sin, sex with his mum. And is kind of covered up. Jacob never rebuked him for it. 20 years. There's no record of confrontation at the time. There's no record of judgment at the time. And I'm imagining that for years, Reuben thinks he's gotten away with it. And then here it is at this final moment, at the end of his dad's life, when it is profoundly embarrassing. And I just raise this because there will be people here who have done things wrong and you've covered it up. You've buried it. You've hidden it. No one knows, and you think you've gotten away with it. But God knows. You haven't. Jacob knew. I just wonder if it would have been different if in the intervening time Reuben had gone to his father and said, Father, I have sinned. I'm troubled about this. I've read this passage a few times. I've thought about it in the lead up to tonight. A man did something wrong, and it was drawn to my attention that he'd done something wrong. And I went to talk to him and confronted him over it. And he said, yeah, I did the wrong thing. And he confessed. But he said, that's all. That's all I did wrong. It's limited to this. But it's just come to my attention that it's not just that. It's this as well. There's been another related incident that he hasn't told me. He hasn't fessed up about it. He hasn't confessed to God about it. And I could go confront him again. But I don't know if there's more after that. That I still don't know about, and how much more there is. And I just feel that if he doesn't deal with it, there's a Reuben kind of statement waiting for him later in his life. Wouldn't it have been awful to be a leader in the people of God? Oldest son, Reuben, held in high esteem by the other brothers. And then at the final moment, he says, turbulent, unstable, chaotic as water, you will no longer excel. Let's put it out there. If there's something in your past that you need to deal with it. Come talk to me. Talk to Vinnie. Talk to my wife. Talk to someone. Confess it. Deal with it. Don't bury it like Reuben did. Jacob turns to the next two. Reuben's the eldest, next to Simeon and Levi. And Simeon and Levi, I mean, look what he says. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their knives are vicious weapons. May I never enter their council. May I never join their assembly. And this is when Dad's supposed to be blessing us. Our sister was raped. Their sister Diana, she was raped. And so what happened? Simeon and Levi, they went on genocide and killed the whole tribe that were involved in the rape. But because they did that, they are judged by God. For the wrong doesn't make the right. And then Jacob turns, having said no blessing really for Reuben, no blessing really for, I mean, little blessing, but nothing significant for Reuben, nothing significant for Simeon, nothing. So he turns to number four, Judah. And you're thinking, oh no, Judah. I mean, Simeon had sex with his mum. Judah had sex with his son's wife, his dead son's wife. And so he did incest this way, he does incest that way. What's he going to say to... But you know what the difference is between Reuben and Judah? Judah repented. Judah was sorry. There's moment after moment in the last 10 chapters which shows the heart change of Judah. And just back in chapter 38 where the incident happens and Judah is confronted with his sin, he says, she is more righteous than I. Gentlemen, don't be like Reuben, be like Judah. What's the blessing for Judah? Judah, verse 8, your brothers will praise you, your hand will be on the necks of your enemies, your father's sons will bow down to you. Judah is a young lion, my son. You return from the kill, he crouches, he lies down like a lion, like a lioness. Who wants to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet. The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the scepter and staff. They're the symbols of rulership. They're the symbols of power, and they will not depart from between his feet. They won't depart from his kids. There will always be a leader of national Israel from the tribe of Judah. A descendant of Judah will be the national leader. And the prophecy of abundance comes. He ties his donkey to a vine, the colt of his donkey to the choice vine. Now, is anyone here from the country? Anyone here from the country? No. I'll speak freely. No one's here from the country. Okay. When do you tie your donkey to a vine? Bryce, you're from the country. When do you tie your donkey to a vine? Bryce doesn't know. When do you tie your donkey to a vine? No. You tie your donkey to a vine when it's not drought. Because you don't care if the donkey eats the vine. When there's so much crops that it doesn't matter if the donkey eats from the best vine, then there's just abundance everywhere. And it's the picture of, in Judah's tribe, there's going to be magnificence. It's going to be abundance. And you see the next line, he washes his clothes in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. Can you imagine washing your clothes in Grange Hermitage? This is a picture of lavishness. This is a picture of wealth. This is a picture of extravagance. When does it come true? There's a moment, Jesus walks on the scene of the Gospels, and the very first sign of Jesus, it's extraordinary, John chapter 2, verse 6, six stone jars have been set there for Jewish purification, each containing 20 or 30 gallons, heaps of water. Fill the jars with water, Jesus told them. They filled them to the brim. Then he said, draw some out, take it to the chief servant. When the chief servant tasted the water after it had become wine, he did not know where it had come from. And though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the groom and told him, everyone sets out the fine wine first, and then when everyone's drunk, they give the inferior. But you've kept the grange to last. Jesus performed this first sign in Galilee. He displayed his glory. His disciples believed in him. For a shimmering, golden moment, says Kent Hughes, wine is as abundant as washing water. And the one who produced the abundance of wine is a descendant of Judah. Jesus is a descendant of Judah. And what happens here in John chapter 2 at this wedding, Frankie, get excited, at this wedding reception, it's a foretaste of heaven. What is heaven going to be like? Heaven is bulk, lots of rich, wonderful wine, and you park your donkey outside and give him a vine to eat. That's the picture of heaven. We wash our clothes in the finest of wine, and the other sons then get listed. The blessing comes to them, and they all receive a blessing, some in abilities in battle, some in prosperity, but there's Zebulun and Issachar and Dan and Gad and Asher and Naphtali, and then we come to Joseph. And there's a sense that there's already been a blessing on Joseph. For Jacob, he already said the blessing on Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And he blesses Joseph now in person. Joseph, first, he describes him as a man. This is the blessing of God on Joseph, the man. Joseph is a fruitful vine beside a spring. Its branches climb over the wall. And that's what's happened in Joseph's life. He's been extraordinarily productive, really the only one of the brothers who's done anything productive. Then he blesses Joseph in person. And his conduct, the archers attacked him, they shot at him. The brothers were attacking him. Potiphar's wife, she was throwing all these barbs against him. They were hostile towards him. Yet 24, his bow remained steady. His strong arms were agile. Joseph didn't bitch about what had been said. He glorified God in that moment. How did Joseph manage to behave so rightly? God. It's because of God working in Joseph's life. It's not something particularly about Joseph. And so Jacob praises God for the work in Joseph's life. Look at it. By the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, by the name of the rock of Israel, by the God of your father who helps you, by the Almighty, get this, who blesses you with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie below, blessings of the breasts, blessings of the wombs, blessings of your father, excelling the blessings of my ancestors and the bounty of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the prince of his brothers. There's a fireworks display of blessing. Bless, 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 bless. Grace, 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 grace. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Grace, grace, grace. And you keep reading in the Bible, through the Bible, and really there's 12 tribes of Israel. But there are two big tribes. There's Judah down the south, from which the ruler, the king, the Messiah, Jesus comes. And then up the north, most of the north is Manasseh and Ephraim, the two boys from Joseph. True to the blessing, the descendants of Joseph's son Ephraim, they become a major source of blessing in the promised land. And time goes by, later on, apostasy grips the north. The ascendancy switches from Ephraim up there in the north down to Judah. And then from Judah, David, King David, and from David, Jesus. And then we're going to get in a few weeks' time, as we do Revelation 1 in 2 weeks, then 2, 3. Well, first week after Easter, we're doing 4, 5. And in Revelation 5, we will see the vision of redeemed humanity gathered in the throne room of God, singing praises to God and praises to the Lamb on the throne, the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever. Blessing. Now, fireworks display of blessing we've seen. Blessing distributed, extravagant, extreme language to describe the blessing. 88 times the word blessing is used in Genesis. In two verses describing the blessing on Joseph, the word blessing is used 6 times in 2 verses. And yet, there is a brighter display of blessing even than this display of blessing. An absolutely dazzling display of blessing still to come. You come forward with me. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is just magnificent. Ephesians chapter 1, and you read in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Although in Genesis there was 88 blessings, although in Genesis there were 6 blessings in 2 verses, they didn't get every spiritual blessing. Who gets every spiritual blessing? Well, it's the in Christ, but it's the us. Now, let me just read this passage out to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored us within the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, things in heaven and on earth. Are you part of the us? What if I am? What if I am part of the us? What are the blessings? I mean, we saw the blessings got lavished on the boys, on Ephraim, Manasseh, on Joseph, on Judah, on the 12 tribes. What are the blessings that we get? Let me read it again. For he chose us. First blessing is selection. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us. Second blessing is predestination. To be adopted. Third blessing is adoption. Through Jesus Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he favored on us with the beloved. In him we have redemption. So there's selection, there's adoption, predestination, there's adoption, there's redemption, and then there is the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Then he made known to us, there's revelation. And then there is to bring everything together in the Messiah. There is consummation. So what are the blessings? Selection, predestination, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, revelation, consummation. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Grace, grace, grace. Every spiritual blessing. Now, you'll be pleased to know that I'm now not going to give another talk working through what all those blessings are. But I'll give you one. And actually, there's a great talk by Con Campbell on the villagechurch.com.au website working through all those 7 blessings, if you want to go to that. But just to focus on one, Jacob adopted Ephraim and Manasseh as his sons. Jesus walks onto center stage of the Gospels, and he says he gives the right to be children of God. He adopts people as his children. And here it is described, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be adopted through Jesus Christ. What is the blessing that we're focused on? It's the blessing of adoption. It's the blessing of making you part of my family, giving you the right of child. That's an enormous privilege for the God of the universe to say that to us. But if I'm going to be blessed like that, by God graciously, generously making me part of his family like that, then my identity is part of his family. My identity is not Cairo. My identity is not Sydney. And all my decisions now, they're not about Sydney. They're not about Cairo. They're about my future in the family of God. My future with my Father God, with my older brother, the Lord Jesus, who redeemed me. My future in relationship with him. Changed for Ephraim and Manasseh, where they lived. It changed who they married. It changed what jobs they had. It changed everything. And so it is with us. If you're adopted into the family, it changes what you do with your finances. It changes who you marry. It changes what you do for work. Oh, how does it change what I do for work? Yeah, because your passion is no longer musician. Your passion is no longer valuer. Your passion is no longer speech therapist. Your passion is no longer teacher. That's not your passion. Your passion is, I'm a child in the family of God, and I have a future in this family. That's my cause. That's my dream. That's my longing. And the other stuff just fits around that. Because I'm going to be in this tribe. I'm going to be in this family. I'm going to be in this people. I'm going to be gathered around the throne, singing praises to him who sits on the throne and to the Lord Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for the extravagant blessing, the blessing that you poured out on Manasseh, on Ephraim, on Judah, on Joseph, on Dan and Asher, on Gad, and even the blessing on Simeon and Levi and Reuben. Father, we thank you for the blessing that you extend to us. We thank you particularly for the adoption that we have. We thank you for this amazing privilege. Father, we thank you so much. Lord God, may we be changed by this blessing. May we no longer see our identity in Cairo. May we no longer see our identity in Sydney. But may we see ourselves as first and foremost children in your family. And we pray this in Christ's name.